I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 248th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a bi-weekly half-hour program where you hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as new Mainers. My guest today is Phunso Chodun. She is from central Bhutan, a country the size of Maryland, that shares a border with China and India in the eastern Himalayan mountains. Bhutan is closely neighbored by Nepal and Bangladesh as well. Phunso came to the U.S. in 2018 to earn her master's degree in global media and communications at the University of Bridgeport in Connecticut. Presently, she's volunteering at Lincoln County TV as a digital media consultant. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Phunso.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You are my very first guest from Bhutan. It's a small country of 750,000 people with 23,000 foot mountains, forests, and plateaus. Could you help us to imagine the place where you grew up? I'm wondering what it looked like when you were a girl, the eldest of four children.
Thank you again. I grew up in a very big family, but they're all loving and supportive of each other. My grandfather used to be a school teacher, and then he met my grandmother, and then they had three daughters. So my mom and my younger sister and my eldest sister. Unfortunately, due to some health reasons, my mom couldn't go to school. So she stayed in the village to help my grandmother. And then my mom married young to my father. So we had four children. So I'm the eldest. My mom and my father were divorced when my mom was 25 years old. So she divorced young, and I've seen her going through a lot of difficult situation and stuff, which made me stronger to take her place in the family. So from a very young age, I was trying to be independent, strong. So I went to live with my aunt to go to school while my mom stayed in the village. And then after that, I had the privilege to be with my aunts, who treated me like their own child, despite they having their own children. And then I had the privilege to go to school. Then from there, I had the privilege to grow up in a very modern town compared to where I was born in the village. Then I had so many memories of meeting different people from different backgrounds. And then also I had lots of memories on how I tend to always do different things differently. So then I usually visit my mom back home during vacations and help her out. But then mostly I spend my time a lot reading. I used to play soccer back in school. And then I loved playing soccer as a young girl in school. Then after that, I went to college. So when I was in college, I took literature because I was so interested in reading. I was a literature student. But at the same time, since Bhutan is a Buddhist country, so I studied Buddhist philosophy too. So while studying literature, I came across a lot of wonderful authors that inspired me a lot. One of my favorite is The Old Man of the Sea by Ernest Hemingway.
What was it about The Old Man of the Sea?
The way Ernest Hemingway tried to have two different meanings in such a great, amazing piece that he wrote, right? So it always grabbed me the attention of how English can be. There's two meanings in English, like superficial meaning and then the in-depth meaning. So it kind of fascinated me a lot. But at the same time, I loved reading from a very young age. I grew up reading Snow White, Beauty and the Beast, you know, the children's comic books. And then I encountered a book written by an American author called Wayne Coffey. It talks about the women of American soccer. In this book, it talks about the American soccer national team, the women team who won the Olympics in 2000 and 2004. Julia Frati, she was an inspiring soccer player to me. And then later, I met him in person. Yeah.
You did, Mr.
Yeah.
Coffee? Oh, how
Yeah,
wonderful.
he gave me a signed copy of the book and I couldn't believe it.
Where did you meet him?
I came to Maine because of this family in Maine, whom I met on the train from New York when I was coming back from Bhutan. We talked for an hour and then we became really close. And they are musicians in Maine. Their name is Julia Lane and Fred Cosby. They are known as the Castle Bay musicians. So we met on the train and then Julia said, hey, give me your email. I'll send you an email. I was like, nah, she won't email me. We just met for an hour. And then she sent me an email the next day saying it's like a fate that we met you and then we wanted to get to know you. So over the past like 6 months, we started exchanging email. And then on Christmas Eve in 2019, they invited me over here and to Bristol, Maine. So I stayed with them and I also spent my 2019 New Year with them and found out that the author that I really liked, Mr. Wayne Coffey, is their friend.
That is a small world story. You read this book while you were still
yes,
in Bhutan?
Yes, I think I was in eighth or ninth grade, yeah. So I read that book and I was so inspired thinking that women can do a lot. They can even win an Olympics gold medal in America. That's how the American dream came to me. But when I say American dream, it wasn't more like getting a house or buying a car, nothing like that. I just wanted to explore the world. I just wanted to explore America as a land full of opportunities. But at the same time, I didn't really expect that I would meet him in person. And him and his wife invited me over to their house. I went there and it's totally amazing.
Is he a Mainer?
They visit Maine. They have a house in Bar Harbor. Oh. Yeah. They visit here every summer.
That is such a magical and fateful connection.
Yes.
So random and beautiful. You get to meet your childhood hero.
Yeah. I always tell my friends about this story. Dreams do come true.
Yeah. Makes you feel like you're in the right place at the right time. Yeah. What was the name of the town where you grew up with your auntie?
The name of the district, my village, is called Wangdiphorang. It's also known for the black-necked crane. It's one of the birds that tourists come and visit every winter. And it's mostly known for our rich culture and tradition. We have food, and then, you know, especially women from that district likes to show off their best dresses. The women from that district is also known to be very strong mentally and emotionally. And as you see, my mother is the head of the family. Usually in most of the countries, men is the head of the family. But whereas in that district, women is known to be the head of the family. They have served as a community leader. They have also served as the head of the village council. So I came from that background, which made me want like push a lot of borders in front of like me. Then at some point I went to live with my aunt in the capital city, which is totally different. I've seen the development in firsthand through my eyes. I've seen, like, back when I was living with my mom, I have never seen a television. I've heard of it, but when I moved with my aunt, I saw a television. That was exciting.
How old do you think you were when you first saw television?
Eight years old. Yeah, I think.
What did you make of it?
It was quite exciting, you know. I saw a lot of things that I read in books in person. I watched the first Snow White movie, which I read in books. I was amazed. And then I think the first movie that I watched was Troy, the Trojan War. It was amazing.
Well, that must have seemed like a fantasy to go from reading books and hearing things but to the full TV experience. Mm.
So I told you that my family is huge, right? From that, I've seen like two differences in the way how people lived in Bhutan from that time. There are two differences of being comfortable living. My parents and my family, we were really comfortable. We were not rich, but we were comfortable. But then when I moved to the city, it's different. You know, there are like so many businessmen, so fancy. Whereas ours was like the olden day, traditional, comfortable family. And I really had a difficult time trying to fit in with children from that family background.
Oh, because comfortable to you in the country was what?
For me, happiness when I was living with my mom was like a great amount of food, whatever I want to eat, right? And then we didn't really think about buying a cell phone or buying a computer. We were comfortable. We were happy. We weren't starving. But when I went to the city, everyone talks about buying a new model of cell phone every time, buy a new gadget, PS4, Xbox. So,
wow. So really teched up in the city. Yeah. So you have both worlds inside of you.
I try to be very careful about not to be swayed by either one part. I always walked in the middle, keeping my tradition at the back of my head, but at the same time being adaptive to whatever's in front of me.
That sounds like a perfect balance. Having enough to eat and embracing the technology that you had the opportunity to experience. So Bhutan's a very unique country in that it has the impressive title of being the only country in the world that is carbon negative. It's also known for measuring the gross domestic happiness of residents as well as the gross domestic products as the rest of us measure so closely. I wondered if you could tell us about some of the policies that make Bhutan the country that you're proud of.
Bhutan is a very small country compared to most of the countries in the world. Just like you mentioned, it's just the size of Maryland and I think the population of Alaska. So since it's a small country, we have been achieving a lot of things. At the same time, facing lots of difficulties since we're just a developing country. So, but Bhutan is known for a great philosophy, a great gift from the throne by our fourth king, Jigme Singye Wangchu. We're known for the philosophy called gross national happiness, which weighs more important than the gross domestic product in the country. So gross national happiness talks about whatever policies or whatever laws are made in the country, it really has the important step to ask people whether they're happy or not. It all depends on the happiness of the people, happiness of the population in the country. If people are happy, then you can achieve anything to a greater length. So this great wisdom came from our great fourth king, and we've been following since.
Is he still the king?
No, his son is the current king, the fifth king. And today is also a very important day back home. It is the birthday of our crown prince.
If you were in Bhutan, what would you be doing to celebrate the birthday of the crown prince?
If it wasn't for COVID, I'm sure people would have come out and celebrated coming together and then chanting the national anthem, wearing the best national dress. We Bhutanese love to celebrate everything. So whenever there is a celebration, we just comes together, everyone makes food, bring food, and then we have a huge picnic every time.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
You said one of the traditions in your culture is to plant a lot of trees.
According to the constitution, we have to maintain 60% of the forest coverage at all times. But currently, we have more than 70% of forest coverage. So whenever we celebrate like the birth of our crown prince or birth of our current king or the father king or maybe Teacher's Day, we always plant trees. We have been taught about importance of trees, importance of preserving our nature, which indirectly helps our own mental health and our surroundings and our food conservation, everything, and biodiversity. So that's why we always plant trees. Whenever there is occasion like this, we always plant trees.
I love that idea. That would be such a wonderful thing to incorporate into our own celebrations, because then you can watch it grow and remember what it was you were celebrating. It's a long-term celebration.
Yes. I still have a few like trees that I planted when I was young, and now they're like even taller than me, so I feel proud and I call them my tree.
I love that. It's so dear. The policies in Bhutan seem to spring from a deeply held belief as a Buddhist country. Will you share some thoughts about how Buddhism expresses itself in the culture?
Well, I would say Buddhism, the religion and culture, is interconnected to each other back in my country. So as simple as soon as you wake up in the morning, you pray. Even before you eat, you pray. And then we always talk about compassion, empathy in any aspects of our daily life or whatever we do in life. We believe in the circle of karma. So, and also we think a lot about giving away rather than expecting for ourselves. And then there is a respect for whoever's elder than us. So we truly respect whoever's head of the family. It's more like, for example, if I don't respect someone who's older than me, then, you know, my mom always used to say that, you know, when you die, that the evil person will take you away and you will not be reborn as a person, kind of thing. So, you know, the afterlife, reincarnation, everything is religious. That's what we believe. And then at the same time, being happy, being content is the soul idea of Buddhism. If you're happy, then you can help others. If you're happy, then that means you don't have all this wealthy desire. Or I think in the Bible, it's the seven deadly sins, right? So we also have something similar to that. So that's why Buddhism plays a vital role in our country, especially with our culture. Whatever we do, we always pray to God. If I want to pass my exam, like, please help me pass my exam, I will offer you butter lamp.
What's butter lamp?
So just like how you offer candles in the churches here, we offer a butter lamp. So we usually, we melt our butter.
Lamp. It sounds like there's a lot of gratitude and respect and a recognition that there's a cycle. So if you give well, everyone will be well.
And I feel that Buddhist people are compassionate. Yes. And kind. We have lots of monasteries and temples in Bhutan. So there are lots of monks and nuns. Even my own younger brother is a Buddhist monk.
Do you have to treat him any differently now that he's a monk?
So the red robe that we wear itself signifies the robe of a Buddha, the Lord Buddha. So that's why we respect him and we always make sure that he is a different person. And now he is selfless. You know, when you practice Buddhism to that extent by being a monk, you don't think about yourself, but you think about all the other people, all the well-being of the whole country, not only a country, but the whole world. So no one's forced to join a monk or a nun in Bhutan. My brother went to high school, but at some point he realized that he wanted to pursue Buddhism and Buddhist philosophy. So he joined a monk, that kind of thing. So when you think in that sense, I feel that Buddhism and culture, they're always intact.
Yes, I see that. That's lovely. It's congruent, what you believe and what you practice.
Yeah.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. My name is Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Phunso Chodun of Bhutan. She completed her master's degree in global media communications during the 2020 pandemic and presently is using those skills as a volunteer for the Lincoln County TV. Can you tell us what your relationship is to the Lincoln County TV? What kinds of skills are you applying as a digital media consultant there?
So this is a story how I came to take this major, because I told, like, in my interview before that I studied literature and Buddhist philosophy. And while I was in 12th grade, I read this amazing American woman, a war journalist called Mary Colvin. And I was truly inspired by her. I used to follow her work and I really wanted to pursue my career in the field of journalism. And then I started to do a lot of research and a lot of work in that area. And when I applied for the master's degree at the University of Bridgeport in Global Media and Communication, I was hopeful and excited because that's something what I really wanted to do. So while doing this application, my story of going to Afghanistan really helped me a lot, because that's the pivotal moment in my life where I decided that, okay, I'm going to be a journalist, because I've seen a lot of women in Afghanistan not being able to do what they want to do. And then I've also seen one of my friends died in a blast in Afghanistan. So it's none of his fault that he died. And nobody talks about him. Everybody talks about the Taliban or like the American government who is fighting against each other. So I really wanted to write stories about people who died in the war where nobody talks to. It's, after all, it's a person's life too. It's really important. So with this story, I applied to the university and then they gave me a scholarship. Then I came to America. So at the same time, when you are studying journalism, you also need to have the idea of how the tech works, the whole algorithm and technology, the social media. But right now, social media is the biggest platform where you can write, where you can get news, get information, but at the same time, where you can also connect with different people from different parts of the world. It's a growing network. So I thought that it's also important for me to learn that aspect of journalism. So it's also called as the digital journalism.
That's really important because if you just study classic journalism right now, it's hard to figure out where to put it and how to get paid for it. You're on the cutting edge.
So I studied that part too. And then when I came to Maine last summer, I came to know about the television station here. I got really hyped up about it. I said, I want to go to the station and see how it works. Because since this station is not a big scale station, you can see everything firsthand. And you can even do a practical training here. So I thought that that's the greatest opportunity that I can take while you're learning. I'm always curious and interested to learn what's in front of me, especially the tech part and the journalism stuff. I do whatever I can to build towards my dream. So then I met the executive director, Larry Seidlinger. I told him about my interests, and then they were really kind enough to give me a volunteer post here. So I worked on the social media page because there was no one who's working on the social media page. So I really worked on social media page, and somehow I had the opportunity to meet different people and then bring in a lot of audience for them. And then in a span of a month, we had more than 1,000 people watching our Facebook page. So it was a huge leap for the station.
That's amazing. It's such a win-win. I bet they're very happy you moved to town.
Yes. And after graduation, since I cannot work in the United States legally right now because I still didn't get my working visa, the EAD card, the employment card, which I've been waiting for past 3 months, and I don't know how long do I have to wait for it again. But then instead of just staying home, I told the ED that if I can just come and volunteer and learn. And he said, yeah, we are more than happy to have you. So I just came back to the station. And then there's this new show called Maine Challenge. And then he said that, hey, would you like to help with Maine Challenge? And I said, yeah. And then that's how I got associated with the new show called Maine Challenge on Lincoln County Television. So I tried to do all the social media and digital media work for Maine Challenge as well as the TV station. But at the same time, I'm learning a lot. I am facing a lot of challenges being a foreigner here in America. But at the same time, it's a process of learning. So I really like it.
You are not afraid of learning. Can you tell us what Maine Challenge is about?
So Maine Challenge is a show hosted by Betsy Sweet. And it's also, the show is produced by Lincoln County Indivisible. So they talk about Maine politics. They talk about Maine politics. They talk about the current issues that's going on in the country, especially looking at the importance of how Mainers are being affected. For example, we had Troy Jackson last week, and he talked about the LG1 COVID-19 bill that was just passed in the legislation. So how this bill is going to help Mainers to get a COVID-19 vaccine and then the health relief packages. And then we also had a show with Shelley Pingree about the capital riots and then how important is it for Maine to take that capital right. And our show this week, we have two young, inspiring Mainers. We had our state representative, Morgan Riley, where he talked about his Mainer fellow bill, the inclusion of all the young Mainers. And also there's Thea Sweet, and she was working on the Youth Commission. So how to include young people in policymaking. So it was quite inspiring to me to meet all these amazing people. If I haven't done anything, then I wouldn't even imagined of like seeing them on our show. And now I feel that, wow, This is it.
When you host a show, you get to meet amazing people. I know that firsthand, just like right now. Oh. You're an amazing person. I will definitely link to the show. They're visible on YouTube if you're not in the Lincoln County TV area. And so everybody anywhere can hear this main challenge. It's a fine program.
It's an amazing show, and I'm sure everyone's going to learn a thing or two from our show.
What might your next challenge be, Feng So? What do you have a dream of doing in the next, say, 5 years?
Even though I am working at the station as a digital media consultant, which I totally love it, but as I said, my dream is to become a reporter. I still want to become an embedded journalism war correspondent. I'm hoping that no more wars will come to our world, because already there's so many things going on. But I was hoping that I can report from frontline conflict areas. Like if I can go to Myanmar and then report from there, or if I go to Syria or report from there, or even if I can go to Delhi right now for the farmers' protests and write their stories. I'm sure that there's so many wonderful journalists who are doing that. But at the same time, I want to do my part to let the world know that these things are happening and they need to do something about it. I want to write about climate change. So I want to become an investigative, embedded frontline journalist who reports from the conflict zones. I've been born in a happy country and I've never faced anything like that. But the situation that happened in Afghanistan really changed the way I think about world. You know, my perspective changed. And when I came to America, the Black Lives Matters was a totally different thing to me too. And when I think about it, I feel that I can do my part too. Someone has to be brave to do all this. And so I decided to be brave. So I want to do that. That's why I've applied in some bigger journalist organizations like Bloomberg, NBC. I also applied in NBC last night for the communications assistant job. And then I'm also applying at CNN, hoping to hear back from them and hear my story on why I want to become a reporter. It's not only about my academic skills, but it's also my interest and the passion that drives me to become one. So I really wanted to become a journalist that can make a difference in the world.
Wow. You are hugely brave to want to be a frontline war correspondent, but it's so important to have good reporting so we know what's going on in the world. Yeah. Feng So, you are a person who saw the world in books and that appealed to you as a child. You imagined a very different life for yourself springing from those pages, and you've worked very hard to find your way. And now you're making your dreams come to life. I wish you enormous success. I wish you that because that's what your name means, enormous success and happiness along your path. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's wonderful.
And Happy New Year to you. I know Chinese New Year and your New Year's coming right up.
Happy New Year to all the listeners. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Kate Manahan. This has been Feng So Choden telling us about her life. Can you introduce this closing song today, Feng So?
So this song is a very special Bhutanese traditional song. It's called My Home, but then it also talks about how people come together to celebrate a day like our New Year's Eve. It's a wonderful song and I'm sure you'll love it. And I miss home whenever I listen to this song. So it has a close connection to my heart.
We will listen and we will feel Bhutan with you.